Attention, you're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. The active ingredient in this program is common sense, which has been documented to prevent and even cure liberalism. Be advised that listening may cause you to lean to the right. The doctor will be with you momentarily. Here's your host, Todd Huff.
Well, welcome to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Wednesday. It is February 10th. Excuse me. Not sure what day it is here, apparently. But it's February 10th. It is the day after the New Hampshire primaries. Going to get into that here in a little bit. It looks like Hillary was absolutely annihilated by Bernie Sanders, by the communist, well, I should say socialist, the kissing cousin of the communist, the socialist Bernie Sanders, the nutty professor himself, destroys Hillary in New Hampshire. I mean, we knew that he was probably going to win big, but it's something altogether different to see this. I mean, this is absolutely astonishing, especially when you factor in just a year ago, which was, of course, before the campaign had really started, well, her first campaign theme, and then she relaunched and relaunched and relaunched. I think we're on number, what, 4, 5, 6? I can't even keep up anymore. But Hillary, a year ago, was up on Bernie Sanders something like 60% to 5%. Now, there were more people in the field, and like I said, the campaign, even campaign number one for Mrs. Clinton, had not really kicked off yet. She hadn't really had the opportunity to make people despise her, to show us how unlikable she is, to get out there with the phony, fake laugh, and to preach to us about the war on women and how awful we are and all these sorts of things. But she loses to Bernie Sanders by over 20 points last night. The latest count, well, as of the time I'm recording this, not all the precincts have finally, you know, have given their final report. But I think around 90% of them have. It shows Bernie Sanders at 60%. Hillary Clinton, 38.4%. Anyway, we're going to get into that. But I wanted to start off the day by giving you a little bit of information here about what's going on with me, about the show. And first of all, you know, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. Connect with us. Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus. We use Twitter the most, but nonetheless, we reach out to me by email, todd@theantidotetoliberalism.com. But we've got a lot of things going on here. In fact, today, forgive me, this is going to be a shorter podcast. Now, I know some of you right now, you're rolling your eyes, you're shaking your heads, you're saying, no way. No way possible Todd is going to give us an abbreviated episode today, because we know you too well, Todd. We know that you are, well, a talker. We know that you have a propensity to make episodes, you know, longer in length than you're able to make them, you know, cut time off of these episodes and so forth. And you have good reason to think that about me, because in the past I've had times when I've told you I was going to have a shortened episode, and when I went to make the final edits, lo and behold, I was over what I told you. So, but today I have to be, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday I came to an agreement with Red State Talk Radio, and you can check them out. It's Red State, RedStateTalkRadio.com, I believe. I'm going to look this up as I'm talking to you. But we came to a verbal agreement yesterday. So this talk show is going to be on RedStateTalkRadio.com. That's the domain, by the way, RedStateTalkRadio.com. We're going to be on there beginning February 22nd. Now, it's going to be on Studio B, which, I'm the new guy on the block here, but it's a good place to start. There's apparently a lot of interest in folks trying to get their shows on here, and for whatever reason, the station manager owner was willing to put me on. So we're going to get the time slot we're going to get, and you have to bear with me here. When you're looking at traditional AM FM radio, excuse me, the best times for AM and FM radio is daytime. I mean, that's when people are more or less driving, you know, going to work, going to the grocery store, going to dinner. And then at night, most of us, not all of us, but most of us will sleep at night, right? Some of us work the night shift. Some of us are just night owls, whatever the case may be. Last night, I was up till 3 a.m. trying to get prepared for Red State because it was, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, it's a little bit different when with online streaming radio. And this is exclusively a talk radio station, online talk radio. It's consistently in the top, I think, 4 or 5% of internet radio. So it's a great opportunity. And I'm indebted to you for helping me get to this point. So thank you for that. But the spot that I'm given is actually a good spot. It's not going to sound good when I tell you. But based upon what Primo, the station manager, owner, had told me, that a lot more people listen to streaming radio at night. So I have a midnight to 1 a.m. segment. So you may have already noticed on this show, and for those of you that are new, we don't normally get into this level of detail. This is not, I mean, we talk about issues. We'll talk about liberalism, conservatism. Yeah, we talk about some things that maybe are not strictly politics, you know, football and things like that. But this is a political talk show. This is a, and we talk about politics, we talk about ideas, we talk about the dangers of liberalism, we talk about the ideas behind conservatism. And of course, underlying everything that I tell you is my firm belief and conviction that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that the Bible is his flawless, perfect word. So this is a little bit different. I'm just trying to update the audience as to what's going on, because there have been some changes, and there will be some more changes. So you may have noticed, if you've listened, if you're a regular listener, that the episodes have gotten a little bit longer. And while many of you might point to the fact that I am, in fact, long-winded, that's not the reason why that they've been approximately 55 minutes. I was making sure, believe it or not, that I was able to create enough content to fill the hour time slot given to me. Now, technically, it's 55 minutes, but with commercial breaks and so forth, it's going to be a little bit less than that. We're going to probably have 4 commercial breaks now throughout the show. And we'll have some new sponsors, by the way, as well. And I encourage you, look, this is, we don't ask for donations or anything like that. We're capitalists here. We believe in the free market. So we're supported by the advertisers that support this program. And I encourage you to, you know, if you need the products or services that are advertised on here, check them out. I mean, that helps the show. That's how this works. That's ultimately how this is going to be able to continue to grow. But be that as it may, 55 minutes is the amount of time I'm given, and then they take 5 minutes at the top of the hour to do news and their own commercials for the station and so forth. So I was making sure that I could fill, I know some of you are chuckling here, that I could fill a 55-minute block of time with, you know, with commentary, with political discussion and so forth. And it turns out that yes, I am a big enough loudmouth to get to that point. So anyway, that's what I've been working on. So my plan was to launch on Red State Radio, Red State Talk Radio, on March 1st or February 29th, some Monday. Which, if you're a liberal, yes, I know typically there are only 28 days in February, but this year is what they call a leap year. This happens every 4 years because it takes 365 1/4 day to make a revolution around the sun, for the earth to revolve around the sun. And that quarter day over 4 years adds up to one full day. And so we celebrate or acknowledge that by having a leap year. So February 29th, it happens to fall 2016, a leap year. And I was looking at launching either the 29th or March 1st. And talking with the station manager, he said, look, I really need to get this going sooner. So we kind of compromised for a February 22nd launch, which, look, for me, that's still a couple weeks out, but there's a lot of things I have to do. I have to revamp the website. I've got to change the format. I've got to get some new commercials cut. I mean, there's a lot of things behind the scenes, and I'm not complaining. I kind of look forward to doing this. But keep in mind that I run two businesses. One of them is Huff Promotional Strategies, that is, you know, a marketing, promotional products firm, you know, graphic design, things like that. The other is Encapsulate. The website is goencapsulate.com, but it's a video and print product. And I've got some good news that I can't share with you. I'd love to tell you about this, but I cannot tell you yet. Hopefully I can tell you a little bit later in the year, something that's come together regarding that company, regarding that product, the video books, as I call them. But regardless, my point is that because of the time constraints I have, as we all have, look, I'm not any different than you all. We have families. I've got, you know, 3 kids under the age of 6, 4, and 2. Every one of them have had pink eye, by the way, lately. So they're off to the doctor today to get the last one medication for the pink eye. The other two, we were able to use some existing medicine. But my point is, you know how it is. It's a 3-ring circus at home. You've got work. I've got a couple businesses, kids. You can relate. You know what I mean. And so I have to do some preparation to get ready to be on Red State. Some things behind the scenes, like I said, commercials, website stuff, that sort of thing. So all that is to say that this show is going to be shorter. And honestly, for the next 2 weeks, we may be a little bit shorter now that I know that I'm long-winded enough to fill a 55-minute segment. We might be running a little bit shorter on the length of our episodes because this extra time required to get the show ready for Red State Talk Radio, get the website, you know, get some things fixed on there. Check it out, by the way. We've redone the website. Heck, I even put new pictures of myself up, as much as I really did not want to do that. But and then, of course, there's the show notes. You can listen to this episode on there, or to the show in general on the website. Just got to spruce some things up, get some work done. So long story short, I have more time dedicated to preparing for being on Red State Talk Radio, and I'm going to, for the next few days, maybe the next few weeks, these episodes might be a little bit shorter, but once we get to February 22nd, you will find that the episodes are going to be 55 minutes in length. So it'll be the same episode that I load to Red State Talk Radio, which, of course, will launch us here in just a couple weeks on February 22nd. So if you want to check them out sometime, feel free to do that. Again, it's redstatetalkradio.com. I'll be on Studio B. There's 2 studios, but they're both available through the website. I think they've got apps you can listen to as well. I believe Studio A and Studio B may have separate apps, but nonetheless, Studio B, by the way, is only 6 months old, I think. Well, maybe 8 months. It started back this past summer. So very excited to be on there. Grateful for the opportunity. Check it out sometime. I'm going to stop and take our first break. When we get back, we're going to talk about New Hampshire and all that's coming from this and the political landscape as we move forward into the 2016 nomination process. So stick around. You're listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Be back in a minute. Make sure your booster shots are up to date by signing up for our free monthly email newsletter. It's educational, it's fun, and it's free. Sign up today by going to theantidotoliberalism.com/newsletter. That's theantidotetoliberalism.com/newsletter. For you, the listeners of The Antidote to Liberalism, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. I've been a member of Audible since May of 2014, and I love it. I've listened to novels, books on business, political books, you name it. In fact, one of my most recent downloads was given to me by one of our listeners, Ben Carson's America the Beautiful. What a good man and solid presidential candidate. But if you'd rather check out a great novel instead, I highly recommend The 12th Imam by Joel Rosenberg. Of course, you'll want to get the rest of his books in the series after that, too. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/antidote. Again, that's audibletrial.com/antidote for your free audiobook. There's nothing to lose with this free trial, so why not give it a try? Welcome back to The Antidote to Liberalism. I am your host, Todd Huff. Today is Wednesday. It is February 10th. It is a pleasure to be here. I'm glad I'm inside, by the way, because it is significantly colder here in central Indiana than it was, heck, even, what, this past weekend. So, anyway, it's a pleasure to be here. You know, I wanted to talk about, first of all, thanks for putting up with me giving you the background on where things stand with the show. And I'm truly, like I said, I'm truly grateful for you. You've made this possible for me. And the comments I get, the encouragement I get, the feedback from you all, it means more to me than I can probably adequately explain. So I'm really grateful for you and thank you for that. We've come a long way in 6 months. You know, ironically, it literally just hit me. Today's our 6 month anniversary. Is that right? September, October, November, December. Yeah, today is our 6 month anniversary. August 10th, we launched our first episode. So 6 months in, and here we go. We're making progress, and that's in large part to you for your encouragement, support, and of course for listening to the show. So I'm truly, truly grateful for each and every one of you. Now on to New Hampshire. Look, I mean we mentioned off the top that Hillary got her butt kicked. I mean, there's just no other way to say this. Hillary got trounced in New Hampshire. In New Hampshire. Not New Hampshire. New Hampshire. And she, I mean, this campaign is imploding. In fact, you'll find articles. In fact, I have some posted on the website. I'll post these as well to the show notes page, which incidentally, I have moved that page because, again, with the website work that I'm doing to clean things up, especially as we get onto Red State Talk Radio, the show notes page is now a drop down under talk show. So it'll say talk show, and underneath there you'll have, I think, four options. And one of those options is the show notes, and that will show you, you know, the what we talked about for the day, some references to articles and that sort of thing. So if you check that out, it has been moved, and hopefully that's not a big problem, but it's a drop down under the talk show link across the top of the page. But anyway, so Hillary loses by what? Almost 22 points, 60 to 38.4. Donald Trump on the Republican side, pulling away in New Hampshire. He finishes again. This is, excuse me. These are not the final numbers because they're still tallying the final results. But this is going to be very close to this because about 90% of the precincts were reporting when I had jotted down this the numbers, the final numbers. So in the Republican presidential primary, it's Donald Trump at 35.1%. He's going to end up with over 92,000 votes. As of the time I wrote this down, he had 92,638 votes. Kasich looks like he's going to finish second. He has a decent little lead over the third place finisher. Kasich's at about 16%. He's at 15.9 as of what my data shows. And then Cruz finishes third. Bush finishes fourth. Cruz was at 11.6. I think maybe 11.7 now, but somewhere around 11.5, 12%. Bush was at 11.1. Rubio 10.6, and then we get to Christie at 7.5%, Carly Fiorina at 4.2%. Ben Carson is going to be under 2.5% when it's all said and done. Ben, as of the time I calculated the numbers, Ben had just under six, right at 6,000 votes, 2.3%. Again, at the time that I calculated the figures here a little bit earlier this morning. And then Gilmore finishes technically with 0%. Even rounding, it did not get a tenth of a percent, but he did receive at least 125 votes. So, big performance by Trump. John Kasich, you know, revitalizes his campaign. But again, this is New Hampshire. This is drastically different from what we're going to see in South Carolina and probably in Nevada. And then, of course, on Super Tuesday, it'll be much different. But John Kasich performed well. Cruz, respectable. Bush, again, I mean, still at only 11%. That's a lot better than he did in Iowa. But, I mean, this was, you know, back when this started and talk about the 2016 nominee was kind of getting in the full swing, I mean, a lot of people thought that this was the guy to win the nomination. So, anyway, you know, who are the winners? Who are the losers? Obviously, this is good for Donald Trump. It's good for Kasich. You know, does it hurt Cruz? I don't know. I mean, we didn't expect Cruz to win. He finished third. It would have been nice to somehow get ahead of Kasich, but Kasich's got a lot of support. The moderate, I guess, the establishment, the governor guy. You know, I think it was going to be hard to catch him, but it would have been nice to. If Cruz could have passed that. And then Rubio, who's not far behind Cruz percentage-wise or even by vote totals, but he technically finishes fifth. And not only that, if you're looking at the delegate count, which, you know, ultimately the score is kept based upon the number of delegates. And I want to get into that and what that means for the Democrats here in just a minute. But based upon what we currently know, the amount of delegates that each candidate received in New Hampshire, there were 23 delegates that would be awarded to the Republicans in New Hampshire. 10 of those went to the winner, Donald Trump. At least 10. There's still 6 that are unpledged based upon the final counts and so forth. But 10 go to Donald Trump at least. 3 at least go to John Kasich. At least 2 go to Cruz, and at least 2 go to Jeb Bush. It doesn't appear that Rubio, I mean, he may not, I don't know, each state is a little bit different. I don't know how New Hampshire does it, but Rubio looks like he might not get any delegates, and he finished just a few thousand votes behind Jeb Bush. So what does that mean? That means that the current delegate count for the GOP, for the Republicans, and you need to get 1,237 delegates to win the nomination. So right now, Donald Trump leads with 17, and of course, he might get a few more. I don't know, again, New Hampshire rules inside and out, but he could get more. Cruz is at 10. He also could get more. Rubio's at 7. John Kasich is at 4. He also could get some more. And then Jeb Bush has 3. He could win some more delegates as well, yet from New Hampshire. There's still 6 that are unpledged as of the time of this recording. Be that as it may, that means the leader after the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary, Donald Trump, 17 delegates, has 1.4% of those, of the total number of delegates needed to win the nomination. Ted Cruz has actually 0.8%. He's not even to 1% yet. So there is a lot, there's a long way to go. Now, I say there's a long way to go, but right around the corner we have South Carolina. I believe there's 50 delegates in South Carolina. Then we have Nevada, and then we have Super Tuesday on March 1st. And there's a lot of delegates. I think it's 25% of the Republican delegates, something like that, are up for grabs on Super Tuesday. So that could be a big day for someone. And then what happens here? You know, who drops out? Is there anyone that cannot make it to South Carolina? I don't know. You know, Carson's performance is, you know, very disheartening to me. I really like Ben Carson. I think he's a great man. I think he's a fantastic individual. I think he's got some good ideas. I just, you know, he's definitely going in the wrong direction. You know, can Carly Fiorina, who's, I mean, she had 4.2%, which is not much, but, you know, is that enough to still stay in the field? I like Carly as well. There's things about her that are great. The way that she goes after Hillary is, I mean, it's, I love it. She's like a pit bull going after Hillary. It's fantastic. I can't imagine Hillary trying to debate Carly Fiorina. I think she would make mincemeat of Hillary. But, you know, does she have the support to stick around? I don't know. It's continuing to, the field is getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, as we move into these, you know, into South Carolina, and then, of course, to the big Super Tuesday, the big day that is for the nomination process. Well, we should know a lot more than we know now. So there's a long way to go, but here quickly, we have a lot of things that are going to be coming upon us very fast, and that could have big implications on who's the nominee for both parties. So anyway, I'm going to stop and take a break. When I get back, I'm going to share with you where the Democrat candidate's delegate count currently is, and I think it's going to blow your mind. I think it's absolutely going to blow your mind. So anyway, more on that when we get back, so sit tight. See you in just a minute. Are you looking for an alternative to employer-provided health insurance? Maybe your rates have skyrocketed, or maybe your employer doesn't provide health insurance. And then you visited healthcare.gov and realized how much of a debacle Obamacare really is. Why don't you take a look at what my family and I do for our healthcare needs? We're members of Samaritan Ministries, and we absolutely love it. If you're looking for a biblical, non-insurance approach to your healthcare needs, visit theantidotetoliberalism.com/healthcare to learn more. And as an added bonus, my listeners will receive an exclusive $50 credit, but only when you complete the application on my website. Go to theantidotetoliberalism.com to apply or to get more information. My family and I love it, and we think you will too. God bless. Well, welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about the Republicans and the results of the New Hampshire primary and where the folks stand on delegate count. And of course, you know, people are at different places with this, right? So delegates are what actually select the nominee. Now, most states have, not all of them incidentally, but most states have their delegates bound to place their vote at the convention based upon the outcome of their state's election. And that's not universally true, because for the Democrats, there are what they call superdelegates, which, you know, don't have to pay any attention to that. And for the Republicans, each state has, I think each state has three, like the state committeeman, the state committeewoman, and the head of the GOP in each state or something or other. Each of those three can cast their votes as they see fit. But for the Democrats, there's quite a few what they call superdelegates, which means it doesn't matter what the current, how a state voted, a delegate can choose to do something differently. Now, if we get to the point, heaven forbid this, but if we get to the point at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland in July, where they make the first vote, and we've talked about this on here, where the delegates cast their first vote based upon the rules of their state. Once that first vote is cast, if no one has the, 1,237 delegates required to win the nomination, then those delegates can begin to make their own decisions as to who they will vote for. So, but we're not to that point yet. We're not anywhere near to that point. We may never get to that. The likelihood that we do is admittedly higher if, say, no one pulls away, say Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or whoever. I mean, if no one pulls away, or if there remains to be a large number of candidates in the field. That will split the vote. But anyway, the point is, we're not to the point for the Republicans yet where they can really, in large part, reassign the delegates based upon the individual decision of the delegate. Now, on to the Democrats. The Democrats need 2,382 delegates to win the nomination. So out of those delegates, the question remains, how many do they have today? Because again, it matters most how many delegates you have. It's important to win the, you know, to win the popular vote. I mean, that has a lot of advantages. That gives off a lot of, you know, positive momentum. That gives off the impression that you are winning, that you can defeat your opponent, what have you. But it's ultimately delegates that determine the course of this election. And this is according, and I'll post this to the website for those of you that don't believe me. If you don't want to believe someone, don't believe the author of this, which is the Huffington Post. Which, honestly, if you didn't want to believe the Huffington Post, I can't say that I blame you. The Huffington Post is, well, not always the, well, you can determine for what you think about them on your own. But the point is, the Huffington Post has told us in an article that the current delegate count for the Democrat nomination for President of the United States has Hillary Clinton at 394 delegates and her opponent, Bernie Sanders, who, keep in mind, lost Iowa by a razor-thin margin, which included, keep in mind what it included, 6 coin tosses. Elizabeth Warren herself is less Native American. She's 1/32nd Native American, so she says. She's less Native American than the odds Hillary had of winning 6 consecutive coin tosses, which was 1 out of 64, like 1.5% or something like that. Hillary won delegates based upon 6 coin tosses. And I also have to wonder what our dear friend, who we miss on this show, sexy, Martin O'Malley, the impact of his being in that, in the Iowa caucus, what it meant, who would have gotten those delegates had he not been there. So she wins by the thinnest of margins in Iowa, and she loses in New Hampshire big by at least 20 points. So if I told you Hillary has 394 delegates after that, after what I've just described there, after what you've seen with your own eyes, and I said, now guess what Bernie Sanders has? I mean, many of you, I would think it's fair to say he should probably at least be tied, close, honestly, probably a little bit ahead. However, because of the pledged superdelegates, those delegates who are allowed to cast their vote for a presidential candidate regardless of how their state votes, because of these superdelegates, Bernie Sanders has received not very many of those. I don't know if he's received any of those, to be candid. I don't see a breakdown of it. But according to the Huffington Post, they're reporting that Hillary's 394 dwarfs Bernie Sanders' 42 pledged delegates. 42. The scorecard, after what we've seen so far, which is an Iowa razor-thin margin in favor of Hillary Clinton, and a New Hampshire blowout in favor of Bernie Sanders, the scorecard reads Hillary Clinton 394, Bernie Sanders 42. Now that's, again, because of the pledge of these superdelegates in the Democrat and the Democrat Party apparatus. Now, can they change their mind? Can momentum, you know, shift to the point to where these superdelegates have to support Bernie? Can Hillary end up being carted off in an orange jumpsuit with an ankle bracelet on? Doubtful. Should probably happen, but it's doubtful. But it's 394 to 42. It's absolutely incredible. To think, given the landscape of where we are, 94-42. And then when you see that in the recent polling nationally, it was Hillary Clinton 48, Bernie Sanders 45, within the margin of error, which I believe was plus or minus 5. It could have been plus or minus 4, but I think it was plus or minus 5. I mean, this is statistical dead heat. By all indications, this race is incredibly competitive and arguably in favor of Bernie Sanders right now. Now, we have, look, New Hampshire is not necessarily, and this is no disrespect to New Hampshire, but New Hampshire is not necessarily the measuring stick by which the other states are going to vote. But regardless, he won by 20 points, and he's down in the delegates. And the delegate count by, what is that, 352? He is down 352 delegates, not electoral votes, but delegates. It's just absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, what's the Bernie Sanders crowd going to think when they realize this? When they roll out of the rack about 10:30 this morning, when they go and receive some free benefit, go down to Bernie to get their college tuition paid for, what are they going to think when he says, hey, I'm down 394-42, based on what the Huffington Post, a far left-wing publication, what they're reporting? Absolutely unbelievable. And I tell you, Bernie Sanders, I did the Daily Dose. Today's Daily Dose is about this, but I'll tell you this. Bernie Sanders has been talking about a political revolution. Well, I tell you what, if we continue on this same trajectory, and if these electoral votes, these delegates, if they stay like this, then there will be a political revolution, all right? The political revolution will be inside the Democrat Party. It's unbelievable. I mean, I get the concept of superdelegate. I get that. I mean, think about it whatever you will, but I understand the idea. But the idea that she's up that much, based upon what we've seen so far when the votes are cast by citizens of Iowa and citizens of New Hampshire, well, it's a Democrat primary, so I'm sure there's some that are not citizens of either of those states. There's probably some dead people mixed in. There's probably some illegal immigrants that are mixed in, people voting twice. So I use that term loosely when dealing with the Democrat primary and Democrat caucus, but the bottom line is that's an enormous gap. That's an enormous gap to see, given what we've seen when the votes are cast. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. If you want to see more about my opinion or hear a little bit more about it, check out today's Daily Dose. But in a nutshell, that's what I think. It's absolutely astonishing. Tell your friends that Hillary Clinton's up 394-42 and see what they say. No one's going to believe this. But check out the article, go to the show notes page, and you can see it for yourself. Anyway, I've got to stop and take another break. When we get back, I'm going to wrap up for the day. Just as I promised, I'm early. I promised you I'd be early. I'm going to wrap up early. So sit tight. Be back in just a minute. I'm not a full-time podcaster, but I play one on this show. My daytime job is running a small business called Huff Promotional Strategies. We are a graphic design and promotional products company that helps clients with a wide range of projects ranging from logos and websites to promotional products and apparel. We have experience working with well-known brands, small businesses like ours, and everything in between. So if you need help with marketing and promotional products, why not give us a try? Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today for more information, and you'll find a 10% discount code that we will apply to your next order. We work with businesses, churches, schools, civic groups, sports leagues. You get the idea. Visit huffpromotional.com/podcast today to learn more and to get your 10% discount code. That's huffpromotional.com/podcast. Well, for those of you that doubted me, for those of you that thought there's no way that Todd's going to get this episode under 55 minutes, which is where they've been, I would like to tell you, I told you so. I say that with a chuckle and a smile upon my face. But I tell you, I have a lot of work to do for this show as we move forward. And so I'm going to spend some time doing that. And I, again, this may be, you may see shorter episodes here for the next, like I said, the next week or so. But starting February 22nd, you will see episodes that are going to be right at 55 minutes. So anyway, there's a lot of other things in the news. One thing I want to talk about really quickly here is this. There was a school in Virginia that showed this video called the Unequal Opportunity Race. And it's basically a video blaming essentially every problem we face in America, at least racially speaking, on white privilege. And I encourage you to go. I've got the link to the article posted on my website, or to the video. You're going to want to watch this. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. It truly is. And they showed this to a school. I thank God that we homeschool. And for those of you that don't, I'm not, look, as long as you're engaged in the process, right? As long, whether you send your kids to private school, public school, homeschool, you've got to be engaged. You know, the job of your child learning is ultimately upon you, right? I mean, you can't pass that off to somebody. Yes, we have teachers, and I, you know, a lot of them do a great job. That's all fine, but you got to be involved. And when stuff like this happens, I would be up there to that school in about 14 seconds, and I would say, "You showed my kid what? You watched this thing." Now, look, I'm not saying that there's no racial problems in America. I'm not saying that there's not white racists in America. But newsflash, there's black racists. There's racists of any ethnicity and race. But this video blames essentially, well, first of all, it's based upon the premise, the analogy that the different races are running around the track and the gun goes off. No one got shot, incidentally. Surprised I didn't throw that in there. But the gun went off and the two, looks like the white kids, on the inside lanes, of course, they get two laps in before the minority kids, which one looks to be black. Maybe they're both black. You can't really tell. The basic message is the white kids and the minorities, right? So the minorities go to take off out of the blocks, and these traffic arms, like, you know, if you're leaving a parking garage or something, they drop in front of them. And then from there we've got, I mean, they had a rain cloud come and a storm cloud followed them around the track, and they fell in, one of them fell into a pit. It wasn't even a hole, it was a pit. There were rocks on the track. Someone had built a wall, a brick wall in this girl's lane. She got drug tested halfway down the track. I mean, this thing just went on, and it blamed, you just have to see this. I encourage you to see this. And I'm not saying, look, racism is ugly. Racism is inexcusable. But if we want to talk about these issues that lead to one of the problems they pointed out was what they call it, the pipeline from high school to prison. As though we've systematically created a system that just sends minorities to prison. Like, that's our intent. Look, no one's in favor of these things. But the solution is not blaming another group of people. Yes, there were racists in the past, and yes, that was atrocious, and yes, there's racists today, but systematically, it's just, I don't see it at all. I don't. And I know I'm a white guy, you know. I'm sure I can hear some of you saying, well, you don't understand because you're not. Look, I mean, one of my best friends in college, he's from Compton. He wasn't black, but he's Hispanic. I brought him here over spring break. In fact, I don't want to tell you, but I brought him here over spring break. He met all my friends. He loved it. I went out there for his wedding. I stayed with his parents in his house in Compton. We loved each other. Just texted with him the other day. This idea that I don't like him because he's another race is frankly offensive to me. When it happens, it's terrible. It's disgusting. It's pitiful. But to blame an entire group of people for the plight of another, and it's not all, that's the other thing, it's not all black people that have these problems. Many of them succeed tremendously. I don't know. To me, there's problems that need to be addressed, but let's identify it first. Let's not point the finger and say that someone's trying to intentionally bring harm to you. It's really offensive to me, it is. And they're showing this stuff at school. It's a terrible video. It really is. It's, I mean, if they want to make their point, they want to make their case, there's about 50,000 ways I could think of that's better than this silly video. So anyway, I'm going to stop and wrap up. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for listening. If you have comments, questions, want to reach out to me, I encourage you to contact me, Todd@theantidotoliberalism.com, or connect with me on Twitter. So guys, it's going to do it today. As always, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Antidote to Liberalism. Your inoculations are now up to date. But since the disease of liberalism is ubiquitous and highly contagious, we need to see you again tomorrow. In the meantime, to help you boost your immunity, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.